Praised be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever. I'm Alexandra Sullivan.
And I'm Father Connolly.
Welcome to Raising Saints, helping kids hear God's voice.
We're a priest and a mom who are eager to do our best to answer kids' questions about God, the church, the faith, and more. Most importantly, to help them to grow in their relationship with God and ultimately hear His voice.
Father Connolly.
Hello, Mrs. Sullivan.
How are you?
I'm great. How
You're
are you?
Great. Blessed and highly flavored.
Yes, that's it. Blessed and highly flavored.
Yep, that's right. Should we just leave that? Keep going.
Oh,
with it.
Absolutely. So we're back. We had a couple great episodes where we had conversation with Sister Marie Pappas. She gave some great insights into the vocation to consecrated religious life. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to putting out some new episodes with parents of, or at least one parent of a consecrated religious sister, mm-hmm. and then continuing with our little series on vocations. But in the meantime,
we
got some more questions, right?
Yep, we do. Write-in questions.
All
so
right.
Not recorded for us, but mm-hmm. before we do that, should we pray?
Let's do it.
I'm not going to because I'm obviously I can't talk today. Mm. So, and you're the priest.
Okay. That's right, folks. Only priests know how to pray. My pleasure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
world without end. Amen. St. Thomas Aquinas,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes. You have St. Thomas now in his own little reliquary. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should stop recording because I can't
just
speak.
Go in the other room and do some
la
exercises.
Reliquary.
Yeah, a reliquary, a home for the relic, yes, that I got on Amazon of all places.
Everything's on Amazon. Okay, so shall we get started with this question?
What's our first question?
This is from Cassidy. Cassidy's in fifth grade, 10 years old, at St. Augustine's.
Oh, they have a great alumni base, you know.
They do. I only know one, and he's not great representative.
Spoiler alert, folks. That's where Father Connolly's from. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my St. Augustine's Eagles.
I don't know how you just did that. Okay. Cassidy says, what do you do if you want to be sorry for your sins, but you don't know how? Mm. What should you do?
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's pretty deep, right? So we know that we should be sorry when we sin, but for a child to recognize that sometimes, isn't it the case that sometimes we know, at least intellectually, that we should be sorry.
Mm-hmm.
We might recognize that we've done something or are doing something that at least in our mind we acknowledge offends God, but in our hearts, do we really feel sorry for that, and sometimes the answer is no, right?
Yeah.
So for Cassidy, way to go. That's a great question. What do you think?
Well, it is hard to, it's hard to be sorry sometimes too, because we all are a bit self-centered as well. So, you know, just think about in your interactions with friends or family, and something happens and you've done something to upset the other person. And you really should say sorry, but what is sometimes our apology come out like? It's either like a grudgingly, I'm sorry, right? Mm. That's what I see a lot here in our house.
Sorry.
Yeah. Go say sorry to your brother now. Sorry. Right? Or it's, I'm sorry that you're upset.
Right.
Right.
Evading the responsibility.
Right. So it's a tough situation for all of us, no matter what age we are.
And sometimes it's that kind of passing the buck, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
might even feel legitimately justified.
Right.
Because perhaps we get into an argument with someone and we happen to know that we're in the right in
yeah.
our position. We have the right position, the correct position. But perhaps our approach or perhaps letting our emotions get the better of us and reacting in a more emotional way than we should could upset the other person. And so maybe on some level we feel that we should be sorry for engaging in that kind of a conflict. But at the same time, we're wrestling with the fact that we know that we weren't wrong.
Yeah.
You know, then we're in that same predicament,
mm-hmm.
right? I feel like I should be sorry, maybe, but I'm having trouble getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's just kind of common.
Sure.
Common experience because we don't even want to admit our part in something that could be wrong too, right? It's hard to say, yeah, I just really messed up. So
yeah.
we kind of hide behind that. Well, I'm sorry I upset the person.
Yeah.
You know, but.
And, you know, we can't force it, right? You can't just, like you alluded to before, certainly you want to train your children
mm-hmm.
to be sorry when they should yeah. be. So as a parent, you would instruct your child, go say you're sorry to your brother.
Right.
But I think you know that you can't. It wouldn't make any sense to try to force your child to feel sorry
right.
to his brother.
Right.
But you're rather training the behavior to say, when you've done something wrong, you apologize for it. And
mm-hmm.
in time, they internalize that and it becomes part of who they are. And now when they're grown and mature, when they've offended someone, it's just a natural response.
Yes.
Right. You've trained that sense of the big word for the day, compunction,
right?
Feeling sorry for our sins. But so what do we do when we know that we should feel that compunction, but we don't, but we want to? I was listening just yesterday
mm-hmm.
to a great episode of a great podcast that we're going to plug now called Godsplaining
yes.
by the Dominican Friars,
yeah.
with Father Gregory Pyne. And various brother father friars of his.
Mm-hmm.
And so parents, I encourage you, parents, teachers, catechists, whoever might be listening to this, if you want to be fed a little more yourselves on an intellectual level, this is a great podcast.
Yeah.
Each episode's about 30 minutes. The Dominicans are just wonderful. They're engaging, they're intelligent, and they bring every day issues out and sort of go through them in very relatable but stimulating ways. So I can't encourage you enough. Take a listen to Godsplaining. Not a paid promotion by the Dominicans. Although if Father Gregory Pyne wants to send me a letter or give me a shout out, that'd be cool.
That would be great.
But, no. But they were talking about virtue and recognizing that we don't perfectly exercise all the virtues.
Mm-hmm.
We should strive for that. And in fact, part of that is this desire for it, right? So the desire to be virtuous, the desire to be holy, the desire for temperance, the desire for fortitude. We, I think, can apply that here as well,
mm-hmm.
right? I know I should be sorry for this. And right now I'm struggling with that. But God, I pray, help me to desire that compunction, which
right.
at least theoretically I know I need. And help me to filter that down from my brain into my heart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful prayer. I think sometimes we take that for granted, you know, that we're supposed to just have it all together or something. Malarkey.
Right. Malarkey.
No. Yeah.
Fulton Sheen?
That's an original Connolly. Right, but of course we're not going to have it all together right away. We need to grow in these things. And so why not ask the master for help?
Well, I'm wondering right? something too, because I think we also place a lot of emphasis on how we feel. Mm. Can we intellectually be sorry for someone, for something, even though we don't maybe feel the contrition? So like, I know this is wrong, or I know I made a mistake. I don't quite feel the contrition, but can I still make an act of the will and make, you know, a confession based on that? Like, I don't know. I guess theologically, I know you're supposed to make an act of
sure.
contrition.
Right.
But do you have to is the feeling a necessary part?
Yeah. Interesting. So now we're talking about particularly bring it into the sacrament of reconciliation as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think, well, what do we need in order to participate in that sacrament? What is, in order to be absolved, we need a confession. There mm-hmm. needs to be matter, right?
Yeah.
Whether venial or grave, there needs to be contrition. I'm actually sorry for this, and I intend not to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're human, and so we keep falling, and we never want to presume God's mercy and say, I'm just going to keep doing this thing, and then I'll just go Saturday morning and be absolved, and because God will forgive you, but we don't want to presume or take for granted that mercy.
Mm-hmm.
We want to actually intend, with his help, to do penance and to amend our lives.
Yeah.
So goes the act of contrition, right?
Right.
And finally, satisfaction. We need, that's why we're assigned a penance. Now, most of the time, that's something pretty simple,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, three Hail Marys.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like to, when I can really sense that a penitent is having trouble trusting that they can overcome a sin,
mm-hmm.
I'm very blessed to have in my confessional a beautiful divine mercy image.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, at the bottom has those beautiful words, Jesus, I trust in you. Very often I'll tell the penitent, for your penance, go and simply repeat those words.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you 5 times, but
do it as much
as
you want.
As much as, you know, what gives you peace.
Mm-hmm.
And just make that your prayer. Meditate on those words, Jesus, I trust in you. But anyway, the point is that we do a penance in order to satisfy, to make up for that sin. So I suppose, right, if we go into that sacrament, if we confess something that we've done, legitimate sinful matter. So let's say, for instance, put myself in the shoes of maybe a 10 or 11 year old child.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe I've stolen $2 from my brother's piggy bank,
mm-hmm.
right? I found the plug on the bottom, right? You don't have to smash it with the hammer to open it up.
Mm-hmm.
I opened it up and I took out those $2 and, you know, maybe mom found out and wants me to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
So she's told me, well, you better go make this right, give that back and apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now intellectually I know that I should be sorry for that.
Mm-hmm.
But my little brother's a twerp, right? And I'm not actually saying that about my real life little brother.
Well,
he's not a twerp. He's 6 feet and 5 inches tall and a police officer. Officer Brian, we thank you for your service. You are not a twerp. My theoretical little brother, whom I stolen $2.
That's right.
You know, I'm not sorry for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does he need that for? He's just a kid. I'm the big kid here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm 10 years old. And,
I need my $2.
Yeah, that's
gotta buy chips at school.
He's not even going to notice that. Like, I'm aware that according to mom, I should feel sorry for that, but
mm-hmm.
but I don't. Well, maybe if she's taken me with her then to the parish Saturday morning for confessions and encouraged me to go in, and now I'm there, and well, sure, that would be a good thing to confess, and perhaps the grace of that sacrament will help me to really feel, again, that
mm-hmm.
compunction, right? That now the act of confessing that, I can receive that sacrament. Now I confess it. Hopefully, I'm so moved by this experience now to decide,
mm-hmm.
no, you know what? I'm not going to do that again.
Right.
And perhaps I'll even return it,
mm-hmm.
and also say my 3 Hail Marys or whatever Father has assigned me for my penance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's confession, contrition, and satisfaction. So I think it's a both and.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we shouldn't bank on that. Right, I don't think we should go through life saying, well, I'm not going to feel sorry for anything. I'll just say it.
Yeah.
Well, then is that really contrition then? Is that, you know, gets into all that. But
right.
But I think certainly if we're praying for, Lord, help me to feel sorry when I've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And also making, like you said, that act of the will.
Yeah.
To be sorry and to resolve not to do it again and to really truly love. I think both and the two together can certainly help us, right?
Okay. So Cassidy, we were thinking, pray to God, ask him to help you feel that contrition, to feel sorry. Mm-hmm. And if you're struggling with it, but to still be able to make an act of the will and say, you know, and move towards sorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you want to exercise your compunction function in Hopewell Junction.
Oh my goodness.
Come on down to St. Columba at Saturday mornings, 8:30 to 9 afternoon.
Is that why you started using this word? You had that phrase stuck in your head before we even started this podcast. You were ready. You had it ready to go.
That's on my business card.
In the Hope Junk.
I don't like that. What's our next question?
Moving on.
Thanks, Cassidy. That was great.
We have a question from Joseph, who is 5 years old.
All right.
And he asks, I really can't talk today. He asks, why did God create bad guys?
Ooh.
Which I think is just the cutest way of phrasing that.
Yeah.
Why did God create bad guys? What are you going to do with this?
No, I think that's great. that's a great question.
Well, honestly, and it's not just a five-year-old question.
Not at all.
Right?
No,
I think every adult wanders around thinking, why is that person mean? Why did that person speak that way? Why does this happen? And if you even go further, you know, some real atrocities in the world, like, why is this happening? Why does God allow this? And I think a lot of people struggle with their faith in God because of this exact question, right?
Absolutely.
Like, why, if God is all good and all powerful and all knowing, why is there evil around us? Take it away. Fill us in.
No, that's a great question. In fact, I was just talking about this morning with our beloved third graders.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much on my mind. But firstly, I think we should say God doesn't create bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Or right. Bad in general.
Right.
Right.
God creates the guy.
Mm-hmm. The guy creates.
Then becomes bad.
Yeah.
You know, everything God creates is good.
Mm-hmm.
But he's given us freedom, and we are fallen as mm-hmm. a result of the sin of Adam and Eve. And so we often choose that which is not good.
Yeah.
And become bad guys.
Well, all of us do this. We
absolutely.
All make sure this goes back to Cassidy's question, right? We all make bad choices. So
right.
It can go either way with any of us, couldn't
oh,
it?
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember in the seminary, I had just started out. I was totally just all in and so excited and revved up. You know, wow, 6 years from now, God willing, I'm going to be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And my spiritual director said one day, we're just talking about, you know, some different problems that people can run into. And he said, kiddo, is this ever going to be you? Of course not, Father. No mm-hmm. way. I could never do anything like that. Absolutely not. And he yelled at me and he said, you're wrong.
Yeah.
It could be because you're human. It could be me. It could be you. It could be anyone. We need God's grace to always choose rightly and to live good lives and to become holy. And it's always stuck with me the way he said that, you know, that we are very good at choosing the bad.
Yeah. It's very easy.
Yeah. So,
right. Just like, just think about the kids you know, they want what they want. So, you know, just think about the boys. They're fighting over a toy train because they both want the same one. And a quick smack across the face to his brother can result in what he wants, right? It's just so easy to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess in broad, you know, more general theological terms, addressing the problem of evil, we start from a place of, well, yes, God created man with a free will as well as reason. That's how, in fact, he's created in God's image and likeness. We're unlike any of the other lower creatures over whom we have dominion,
mm-hmm.
Because we have reason and free will. So we can know things and we can choose. In fact, our friend and unofficial patron here, St. Thomas, would say that the true freedom, you know, a human act, this consists in being able to know the end for which I am moving myself,
mm-hmm.
and then the ability to move myself. So he would say in his Summa, he gives the example of a stone rolling mm-hmm. down, you know, a stone rolling down a mountain is not its own mover.
Right.
Or rather, excuse me, rolling, if it's being rolled up the mountain, it is not its own mover.
Something's moving. It's, right,
something must be moving it. If it rolls down the mountain, I suppose he wasn't considering gravity. it is its own mover. Okay. I know he meant its own mover in the sense that it's not being pushed, right?
Yeah.
It's rolling. So it's in that sense the principle of its own motion. But it still doesn't know to what end it's moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stone.
Yes.
It can't know that.
Okay.
A human being can know the ends for which he or she is acting.
Okay.
And can choose to act. Can be his or her own
mm-hmm.
Principle of his or her own motion or action.
Okay.
Right. So those are the philosophical, theological terms. But in other words...
Did you see my eyes kind of glaze over there?
No, thank you. So you're so supportive. No, in other words, so like you said, let's take little Johnny who's fighting with his brother over
mm-hmm.
the train.
Mm-hmm.
He has a choice. Relinquish the toy train
mm-hmm.
and find another toy to play with. Or if he decides to move toward playing with that train,
mm-hmm.
he can choose to slap his brother in the face,
mm-hmm.
which will cause his brother to run away,
mm-hmm.
achieving the end for which he's striving.
Right.
He can know the end toward which he's moving.
Yep.
And he's free to choose how to move toward that end.
Right. Right.
So, because of the fall,
mm-hmm.
and because we're free and knowing,
mm-hmm.
we too can and often do sin.
Okay.
So, why did, in a broad sense, why did God create bad guys? Well, he didn't, but we become right. bad guys in the instances in which we sin. Thanks be to God, we can always approach his mercy
right.
and be forgiven and over and over and over again. Unlike the angels, our celestial friends, or rather those fallen infernal friends who
yes.
have chosen poorly.
Not,
but we've
not
talked
friends.
About that
yes.
in another episode. If you want to hear more about that, go back to our episode where we addressed that the fall of the angels and,
right.
and all that.
Look at that. We've already covered that. Look at us.
but yeah, so great question though. You know, so evil, sadly, is a part of our reality, but we're promised a new heaven and a new earth. And someday,
mm-hmm.
When God separates the lambs from the goats, when he the winnowing fan separates the wheat from the chaff, we pray that we'll be good, fruitful wheat, that we've lived good, holy lives. And no matter how many times we might have sinned, we've repented and we'll finally accept God's love and mercy. Be with him in eternity.
Wonderful.
Good guys in heaven.
Good guys in
right?
heaven. Yep. All the saints and angels and hopefully us hanging out in heaven. Thank you, Joseph, for your question. We hope that answers it for you.
So now I have a question.
Oh, yes.
Mrs. Sullivan.
Yes.
How have you heard God this week?
Whew. Well, I was telling you a story just before, and I don't want to give all the details just because it's kind of personal, but the other night I was struggling with some things, you know, some self-doubt, some worries and concerns like all of us do. And I vocalized all of this to my husband and we were just talking about it. And the next day, this is just how beautiful this is. two of those very specific concerns I had were addressed in a way that I had nothing to do with. So somebody took care of something that needed to be done, and that was one of my concerns. And I was struggling with that. And then just, you know, a beautiful thing played out with one of my children that kind of gave me a boost of confidence. And it was as if God was saying, I heard you, but that's not true. Whatever you were thinking is just not true. And look what I did. I showed you why. Mm. And I just thought that was a beautiful answer to a prayer that I didn't even make, right? We were just having a conversation, my husband and I, and but God was listening, right? God was in that, and he chose to show me, you know, where I was misguided and why my thinking was wrong and how he sort of sees the situation. And that's kind of how I felt God this week. Mm. So
that's beautiful.
Father Connolly.
Yeah, actually kind of similar. The way he reveals things to us, and he doesn't have to,
mm-hmm.
right? He doesn't have to, but I just yesterday was told by someone, oh, Father, your homily on Sunday, you know, thank you so much for that homily. And now that's something I think every priest hears, mm-hmm. just because God's people are very good,
yeah.
and very kind,
yeah.
and genuinely want to boost us up. And so we're very grateful for that. But, you know, not that you get sort of blasé about it, but when you hear that, it's not too much of a temptation to pride, because you think, well,
mm-hmm.
you know, for most of the people, that's the one homily they've heard this week, and yeah. they're just very kind, and
yes.
you know, it's not that I'm such a great orator or anything like that, but so you say thank you and kind of move on and smile and thank mm-hmm. you so much, God bless you, and please pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
But this instance, this person told me about a very, very specific situation that was going on
mm-hmm.
with someone close to them that apparently I directly addressed
mm.
in my homily.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not possibly have known about that person's plight and that they'd be there and that they're going through what they're going through. And I just, you know, I did my best to just listen to what God wanted me to say and
yeah.
say it. And this person was God's little consolation to me.
Yeah.
Kind of like a little pat on the back from God saying, trust in me.
Yeah.
Trust in me because yeah. I'm guiding you. Don't try to do it by yourself.
No.
In other words, because it's not going to be good. So I'm just so grateful to that person for telling me that and to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So also, can I take this chance to ask you and all our listeners, please just pray for me, right? Mm-hmm. It can be really hard sometimes to know what to say. And sometimes I have an idea of something I want to say, but then I'm afraid to say it. And
mm-hmm.
I've found so far that if with God's grace, I can overcome that and just say it.
Yeah.
Usually it turns out that's what he wanted me to do.
Right.
Because as John the Baptist said, right, I must decrease and he must increase. And every priest I know would say the same. I hope it's God speaking on Sunday, not
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
So please pray for me.
Well, one thing I'm just thinking about is that we often are faced with that situation where there's something that we think we should say or that's placed on our heart or that's going through our mind. And we're like, no, I'm not going to. Right. That's, I mean, aren't we playing right into that? Like, I feel like for me personally, every time I've encountered that I should say this, but I'm too scared to, once I say it, it was exactly the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess just sort of have confidence in that. And we will pray for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You too.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Mm. All right. So we're going to wrap up here. But listeners, if you have questions for us, please send them to us because we really enjoy these episodes where we get
yeah.
to answer specific questions from our listeners. So we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Even email them to us like we did today. Mm. All right.
One more pun.
Oh, gosh.
We are indeed blessed and highly flavored. because Jesus calls us to be salt of the earth.
Oh, gosh.
Just trying to spice things up here. You know? Bye, folks. God bless you.
Goodbye.